Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder.
Woo!
My name is Paul Gerard. Please welcome my co-host, the Reverend Spiro.
What's up?
Adam Velez.
How you doing?
Back again this week. How you feeling, Adam?
I'm feeling better. But
you had a sick stomach last week, right?
Sick stomach, but we'll see about after this show.
Yeah.
See how sick my stomach is after this.
Yeah, so today we're going to be talking about eating insects. Bugging out. We'll be talking to some of the pioneers in America attempting to show that this forward-thinking food source can be seriously delicious. How you guys feeling about this?
Well, I mean, here's what I'm, you know, we try to do some research, and every time I look this stuff up, the only thing that came up were, like, that last scene in Creepshow with the, you know, the cockroaches coming out of the guy's neck, you know, or like, and then, of course, that triggered every other phobia I had, so I had to look up Squirm, the movie with the worms, you know, Night of the Creeps.
Well, why are you doing that to yourself? You're just making it worse.
I know. This is what I do. This is what I do.
You're setting yourself up for disaster.
You know, it's pretty interesting, though. There's 900,000 species of insects on the planet. And presently, we're eating about 1,000 of them, at least 80% of the world. Not Westerners. We're the only ones that haven't been eating them. We need to start eating them.
We only eat them in our sleep, apparently.
Well, it's really...
that's it.
Or when we're eating canned tuna or Chef Boyardee
or New York City tap water.
Yeah. New York City tap water. I keep thinking of if they did Pulp Fiction in 2030, what the diner scene would have been like. You know, well, cockroaches taste good. Water bugs taste good. You know, I don't eat water bugs.
Better be one charming motherfucking water bug. Yeah.
I don't care how you cook it.
By that rationale, you eat ladybug? I don't eat no motherfucking ladybug either.
You can fry that shit.
It's actually a very serious subject, and as much as we joke and gag, the FAO, the Food and Agriculture Organization, estimates the world needs to increase its food production by 70% by 2050 in order to serve a global population of 9 billion.
Or decrease their population in order to serve.
Yeah, so we either put some sort of genocide into effect or we start getting used to eating some fucking bugs.
Genocide or insects, people, you choose.
I mean, I think euthanasia should start right now. It's the kicker, you know.
Yeah, but Westerners are the last to join in. We view bug eating as disgusting, yet insects make up part of traditional diets of 2 billion people.
Well, yeah, and I'm trying to psych myself up for this, and I keep telling myself.
Two billion people.
We're not just talking about insects here. We're talking about bugs overall, right?
Right.
We're going to snack on some non-legged animals.
Insects and bugs is like hobos and bums. That's the equivalent. So when you say bums, you're saying a hobo.
All right, but
listen, yeah. A hobo doesn't have to be on a train with like a accordion or singing songs of the old country to be declared a hobo.
I'm trying to justify this myself. I eat snails. I love snails.
I love snails.
Man. I love snails.
Right.
I love I'll eat lobster. I'll eat crab.
Yeah, but that's right? All very closely associated.
I know. But yet I've got this fear of the things that crawl over my body when I'm dead.
It's just a cultural taboo, you know, and we're all going to be dead if we don't get over it. So maybe we should bring on our first expert here, Lewis Sorkin, Senior Scientific Assistant of the American Museum of Natural History. Lewis, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
Sure, no problem.
So hopefully you can change our minds. I know you sent us some samples, so we are going to be eating them live on the air today.
No, they're not live. They're dead.
Well, they're dead.
You can try those and see.
Oh.
They're better fresh, I must admit.
I bet.
It sounds like Gollum. I like it with the bones and so, still breathing.
Lewis, tell us a little bit about yourself and your passion for insects.
Oh, I've been working with use of insects as food for about 30 years. And it's not just, you know, insects as food, but you can use insects for animal food. And also the insects are used for recycling organic waste. And then the insects from that can be used to feed animals, too.
Wow.
So it's actually quite a good system.
Yeah, it seems like it. I saw the Marcel Dick, the TED Talk that he gave, where you talked about, you know, it takes 10 kilograms of feed to produce 1 kilogram of you know, meat from a cow.
Mm-hmm. Right, you know, exactly. Yeah, about one you only need about 1 kilogram then for the same amount of meat you would get from the insects, and plus water. You don't have to really give them that much water compared to any of the cattle or sheep or goats or pigs.
And there are 1,000 that were eating presently, right? Why is that? If there's 900,000
species that are known to be eaten by various people.
To be eaten by various people.
I mean, yeah, that's my question. My next question is basically, you know, what parts of the world? I mean, you see the pictures of, like, you know, in Asia where they've got the giant grasshoppers on the stick and whatever. But where does, you know, where is this common fare from a standpoint of west of not third world countries? But, you know, where can you go into a restaurant regularly and go, like, okay, I'd like to eat something with multiple legs or no legs at all?
Well, yeah, actually, insects. You have a few Mexican restaurants in New York City.
That's true.
Is that by accident?
No, grasshoppers.
Oh,
those
nice.
Are quite good. Mm. But there are other preparations. We realized in the Western world, it's much easier to give people insects if you were to pack them as flour first. So they can be frozen, they can be ground up and made into various items, and then they're eaten. And people don't realize they're eating them, but they then still get protein, fats, carbohydrates, and essential amino acids from those insects.
But that's what we do with meat. I mean, it is. Like, if you make the average American go out in the field with a knife and say, listen, butcher your own cow, and, you know, they're it's going to turn their stomachs. You know, I could see the psychological part of that, because we don't look at any of the, none of the animals we eat look like the animals they are.
Yeah.
Oh, that's quite true, except fish. You know, usually you get whole fish.
But we're already eating a lot of different things that, you know, the FDA allows a certain amount of insects to be in foods that we're eating all the time. So we're already...
Yeah, but see, that's really only insect debris. It's only bits and pieces. It's really not a nutritional amount of the insect.
I noticed that there was a website that actually listed what was allowed to be in certain products.
Oh,
and
man.
Most of the stuff was quoted as insect filth.
Right, yeah. Yeah, insect or rodent filth, too.
Sounds like porn.
Oh, awesome.
How was your first experience eating insects? Was it a very natural experience, or was like your
actually,
love?
Yeah, it was back in a field entomology class at the University of Connecticut back in the 1970s, and we were out collecting in the field and collected a lot of aquatic insects like dragonfly nymphs and some mayfly nymphs, and we just cooked those in a little butter and some brandy, and it tasted quite good.
I'll eat some nymphs. I got no problem with that.
Oh.
Yeah. Actually, a lot of the insects, depending what you mix them with, they actually pick up the flavor of the spices and things you're using.
Well, yeah,
although
I would imagine.
Many of them still have their unique flavors, too.
There are certain things, you know, that, you know, a lot of times food is a vehicle for the sauce or for the condiment or whatever it is. I mean, if you take grasshoppers and make them into a Parmesan hero, you know, you slather them in mozzarella, we've got no problem with it, you know. I'm sure it's delicious.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Good.
Although I've never had that one.
So let's get right to the gravity of the situation. I mean, as much as we're joking about it, this is no joke. You know, if we don't wrap our heads around this, you know, humanity may perish, no?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be almost impossible in 2050 to actually keep all the sheep and cattle and goats and such, you know, perpetually, you know, raised the way we're doing it now. You won't be able to do that to support the amount of people you have, but you can do that certainly if you were to use insects as the main protein source and use them also in recycling organic waste you get from you know, restaurants or from even stores, grocery stores.
And there are a lot of events happening worldwide. Where, what would you call them? Eat-ins, or, you know, I see it in the Netherlands.
Exactly. There were some recently. I know one in Washington D.C. There was one in Australia.
There's been food fairs or bug fairs.
Yeah, those were called pestarons.
Pestarons.
Also, you know,
associating
insects.
Nice.
It was through a pest control company.
All right.
And But you know, all kidding aside, if you were to, well, I also teach, you know, many classes in the use of insects as food, and I have a lot of examples I'll try to bring that people try them and see how easy it is to eat them, and they're really not that bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, from a survival standpoint, though, I mean, it's like we're talking about cooked bugs. You know, again, I obsess to the negative always, and I always have the idea of, you know, like Papillon eating the cockroaches and Renfield eating the flies. Okay, so if you are stuck in a place where you're about to starve, I mean, what basically, are there certain insects that are like, okay, I can eat this right now,
yeah,
and I won't
what's
die?
What's the common bug to grab?
Yeah, like what's that's around the whole
all
world.
The time?
Yeah.
Yeah, usually crickets. As most grasshoppers, now the hard part are certain caterpillars. They really should be cooked, but some of them have specialized hairs and spines on them that actually introduce some venoms into you in certain cases you don't want to bother with those. But if you got the ones that aren't really hairy, and it also depends on what plants they're feeding on, because if they were eating tomato plants, tobacco plants, you have a lot of toxins that go through them that get sequestered or broken down into something that really doesn't bother them.
But if I really need a cigarette,
if you eat them, you also pick that up. That's a problem too.
Yeah, you should do that, Spiro. You should like chew on a tobacco-eating cricket instead of nicotine and nicorette. Crickets, cricorette.
Louis, do you think Monsanto is going to get their hand in this and start making GMO insects? Like we're going to have some like Jurassic Park kind of.
Yeah, I know. Well, I really don't know. I mean, someone could actually do that. That's true.
Let's hope for the not.
Yeah, let's hope for the not.
Yeah.
All right.
Interesting.
But actually, you know, fresh crickets, because they're really eating, especially if you raise them, you're actually giving them, let's say, organic food, and that's what's done in certain cricket farms. The ones that are raising crickets for people food, they try to raise them on very good products.
I feel too bad eating them after I raise them. Once I give them a name, I can't.
Oh, well,
can't
if you have
them.
Thousands, though, you're going to run out of names.
No!
You might look familiar, but you really won't know its name.
If you eat me, you will fart. Most likely, you probably shart.
Well, it is, you know, it's a lot of common sense we're dealing with, but unfortunately, you know, we're dealing with a culture and, you know, more importantly, a government that is very self-centered. You know, they don't heed the warnings of the depletion of fossil fuels or global warming. So why would some fat cat in a 10-gallon hat give up his steak for a plate of locusts?
Well, actually, he probably wouldn't, but you'd be able to get more people to accept that. And, you know, you wouldn't have to necessarily give up the other animals that are eaten. It's just that you would use the other insects as a major portion for adding the essential proteins that you would need in your diet. The others are like, you know, dessert or be specialized food you might want, which might be a special steaks certain time of the year. Certain chicken, you know.
But right. Seasonal. Bugs are seasonal. It'll go over well in Brooklyn.
The other animals, let's say in chickens, as opposed to giving them a soybean or other vegetable-based stuff. And let's face it, you know, chickens, you watch them scratching. They've been looking for insects, you know, all their lives. And more natural food is really the insects and scorpions, things they might find, you know, on the ground.
Gravel and grub. Well, that's fantastic. Well, Louis, we're going to come back in a minute, and we're going to bring Zach from New Orleans on, who is a chef down there at Bug Appetit. And
we can all
talk about the bugs that we're going to eat and some of the best ways to prepare bugs. Yes.
Yummy.
And I just hope that the people who are sitting right outside our booth right now don't lose it.
We're going to put them on a pizza.
Yeah, I know. There's a beautiful couple sitting right next to us. Doesn't know, have a clue what we're talking about, that's about to see us eat worms. They look like they're on a first date.
Maybe there was a mealworm there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to be a good meal. Okay. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back right after the break.
All right. Great.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free Heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods, guaranteed to produce the very best tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus, Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
We're back, folks. This is Eating Disorder.
This is truly an eating disorder.
I'm the Reverend Spiro. I'm here with Paul Gerard and Adam Velez and our guests. And we are here to talk about eating bugs. Not just insects, bugs.
Entomophagy.
Entomophagy.
Entomophagy is the term for consuming insects as food. This is the real deal.
Yeah.
1,900 edible insect species on the planet. So I'm gonna ramble off a couple little facts here because this is something that we really should consider, and I'm sure a lot of people listen to it have the same ideas that we have that, you know, then really not taking it seriously. The environmental cost of farming insects is low, takes up a fraction of the land, and is more efficient than farming traditional livestock. Insects are rich in protein, calcium, iron, zinc, and a source of good fats. Insect farming is relatively low tech, offering new livelihood options for those in need. So we might even help unemployment here.
Hmm. And they're still creepy. we're gonna do this.
Oh no!
You know, again, I keep going back to it. It's like some freaky caveman looked at a lobster once upon a time and said,
"I know,
I'm gonna eat this thing."
Right? Hey, you know, like anything else, if you get hungry enough, yeah, you know, you're gonna wind up eating it.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, and you know, I have a theory that humans started eating what they saw other animals eat. You know, like, so in other words, if you got hungry enough and you saw a bird eat something, it's like, oh, that bird ate the worm. I can eat the worm.
And it didn't die.
And it didn't die, exactly. But again, you know, being fairly Americanized, even though I wasn't born here, you know, I was reading
You're
something.
Americanized.
Yeah, I'm Americanized. No, I was reading something.
I don't eat bugs.
I was reading something about, and this really just turned me. Casu Marzo? Uh-huh. It's a cheese.
Yeah, it's a cheese from Sardinia.
Yeah, from Sardinia, which they spread on crackers.
Maggot cheese.
And honestly, it's actually dangerous to eat if the maggots are dead.
Right.
If the maggots are dead, the cheese is spoiled. I was reading this and you know, going, I love cheese. I love cheese.
You got to have live maggots. That's the only way to go.
You know.
But our next guest, Zach Lemon from Bug Appetit in the Audubon Nature Institute of New Orleans. He specializes in cooking bugs. So, Zach, you with us?
I sure am, and thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. How's New Orleans treating you? I was just down there last week. I wish I had known we were going to do this show. I would have stopped by and had them made properly instead of eating them out of to-go containers.
It would have been fantastic. You could have had stuff from Lou and stuff from me, and you could have sampled all sorts of yummy bugs.
I'm very glad that Lou sent them because as much as it might not be a part of our culture, I am looking forward to giving it a shot. But,
well, if you visit New Orleans as much as I hear you do, I'm looking forward to seeing you at our facility. It's called the Audubon Butterfly Garden and Insectarium, and it's a 23,000 square foot museum. And the place you mentioned, Bug Appetit, a hilarious pun, I know. It's one little section of our museum, and we serve edible insects to our guests every day.
How do people react? Are they receptive to it?
Well, I'll tell you, we get a couple of 100,000 people a year, so you would imagine in any sample size that large, we've got people who are coming in the door knowing that we serve insects and coming straight back to Bug Appetit saying, hey, we're ready to try some. You got other people who walk in and turn the corner and go, you're serving what here?
Yeah, so you don't surprise them. You don't catch them off guard and just give them insects and go, you know what you're eating? As they're chewing and swallowing. You know what that is? That's scorpion. That's what that is.
Millipede lasagna. There you go. You know,
a man doesn't walk on the lot unless he wants to buy. Zach, were you bummed out that you didn't get Most Outstanding Bug Chef from James Beard this year?
Say that again for me?
Were you bummed out you didn't get the Most Outstanding Bug Chef from James Beard this year?
Well, you know, if the James Beard Award it was given to Bug Chefs, I'd like to think I would be in the running. You know, there's not that many of us, quite frankly. And I've done some competitions before. We make a joke. We call it the Chitin Chef instead of the Iron Chef, which, if you understand entomology, again, you know, we're such wonderful humorists in our line of work. But anyway, no, I like cooking insects. Let's put all our cards on the table. I haven't had a day of culinary training, so I'm not a chef. I'm a bug guy who happens to know how to turn the stove on.
You basically you were making cookies one day, and like a centipede fell into it, and you're like, "This is delicious." Career made. That's awesome. That's fantastic.
And lucky you're in New Orleans, because anything like slathered in etouffee and cream and Creole spice, it's going to taste pretty good anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, you guys were talking with Lou a little bit earlier about, you know, adding insects to dishes that we already know and like. So what I tell people is, if you don't want to try the bug straight up, au natural, if you will, which is fine to do, you can add or substitute bugs for any dish that calls for small chopped bits of fruit or vegetable or nuts or meat. And if you treat them in that way, you can incorporate them into stuff. So if you've got what I like to say is a little hesitancy to expand your gastronomic horizons, you know, it's a nice entree into entomology to sort of do it by adding flavors and textures such that you're not just having an insect. You try it that way first. You say, hey, you know, those guys are right. This isn't that bad. And then the next time someone gives you an insect to eat, you think back and the first experience was good, so you try them again.
So, guys, why is it that out of the 900,000, we're only eating a small fraction of that? Are there some bugs that we shouldn't be eating for certain reasons?
Are they going extinct?
Well, Lou, you asked that question to Lou Sorkin earlier, and he touched on you know, part of the answer. You know, there are certain insects that are going to eat compounds that will render them either distasteful or even mildly toxic to us. And in a lot of cases, those insects sport sort of classic warning colors. They have alternating dark and bright colors. We've got a colleague who wrote a cookbook called The Eat a Bug Cookbook, and he says, I'm paraphrasing his little rhyme, he says, if it's green or brown, go ahead and toss it down. If it's red, orange, or yellow, avoid that fellow.
So the
and that's a very simple way of saying, as a general rule, and it is very general, camouflaged bugs are trying to stay hidden because they taste good, and things that want to eat them, like birds and lizards and us, are going to go after them, whereas the ones that have bright colors are trying to tell you that they can sting or that they taste bad. But the real answer to your question, Paul, is that we only know of about 2,000 species that are regularly collected or raised and eaten by people. There are probably well over 100,000 species of insects that are edible. The question is, are they readily available or have they been cataloged? Do we know about it?
Right. What's the foie gras of the bug world?
what's the what in the bug world?
The foie gras.
Ooh, boy, that's a really good question.
Grub?
I'll
is it
tell
grubs?
You, I really like dragonflies. The adults, not the nymphs. Lou was talking about eating the nymphs. I think adult dragonflies taste great. To tell you the truth, the tastiest insect I've ever eaten, and I have a sweet tooth, I'll tell you, I don't like things that are sour or bitter. You know, I don't like leafy greens. I don't like beer. I know that sounds odd. But I like salty stuff and sweet stuff. And if you dig up honeypot ants and you eat them live and raw, which is not how we eat most of our bugs or most of our animal matter. We usually cook it, right?
Yeah.
But honeypot ants are awesome. I mean, you may as well be having simple syrup. It's great.
Wow.
I mean, that's back to the live thing. I mean, you know, psyching myself up, oysters and clams, we're eating those live. Because if we're not eating them alive, we're getting sick. You know, so in regards to eating live bugs or whatnot, I've seen the National Geographics where people just grab a grub out of the ground and eat it and all that. How safe is that? Eating a live animal, you know, I mean, eating, and you know, oysters and clams don't really have any defense mechanism going down, you know, but if you're eating a live bug, if you're eating live ants,
they're going to bite.
They're going to bite, aren't they?
It's funny you should ask this question. You know, the adult ants, I don't know too many cultures that eat adult ants alive. I ate some ant larvae, a good number of them, just right out of a log on Thursday, just this past Thursday. And this is not something I do every day. But I was out in the field, and there was we uncovered some carpenter ants, and we got like the nest. So there were all these larvae, and they were really good. But if you want to eat something that's alive, obviously, you know, if you chew it quickly enough, any defense that it has put into play, aside from hairs or spines, which again Lou mentioned earlier, isn't going to be very effective because you'll chew it up and kill it right quick. But the rule of thumb when you try anything for the first time is you have a little taste of it. Does it taste good, or does it irritate the throat of the tongue? And then 5 minutes later, you actually take a decent sized bite of it. And if your stomach feels good 20 minutes later, you go ahead and eat it.
It's kind of like mushrooms.
You never go whole hog on something that you're curious about and not sure about.
Yeah, well, I wish you would have told me that before I met my first wife. So, guys, we have
you and me both. You and me both.
Orla, our producer here, is setting the table for us. She's laying out napkins.
Oh my!
Yep, we're
the Emily Post of the bug world.
And I love that she brought all the bugs in a Dean and DeLuca bag.
Yeah, make us feel better about everything.
Aww.
So, Louis, you sent this stuff very graciously.
Right. Yeah, you should have different mealworms. Those are freeze-dried, and there's some locusts that were also raised, but they're freeze-dried. And then there's some of the Japanese-prepared ones that are sake. Soy sauce and a little sugar.
Lou, do we have two types of locusts? Because there's like one.
Oh no, then there's also the grasshoppers from Mexico, Chapulines.
Okay. Are they the tiny ones? They're the tiny ones, right?
Those are the darker, smaller. Yeah. Ones. Yeah, the locusts are the elongated grasshoppers.
I thought it was like a chef thing, like locust two ways.
We're filming this, so anyone who wants to check this out, they could actually see what these things
are. I think the other thing is this is an issue of marketing, okay? Because, you know, foie gras sounds better than duck liver, you know, and things to that effect. So, you know, someone's got to come up with some better names, you know, locust. Because, I mean, when I think locust, I think the seven plagues, you know?
Dean and the locust.
That's what I was talking to Adam about earlier, that, like, crabs, what we get from, you know, dirty sex, like the French call it. The French call them papillons d'amour, the butterflies of love.
Michelle.
You know?
All right, who's doing this first? Come on.
I'm sure I've tried a few of those in my day.
All right, guys. Everybody gets a stick. We're getting primal now because we have sticks and insects in front of us.
Orly, you want to talk us through this? What are we having first?
It's actually a finger food, too, you know.
Ooh. All right, let's go with the...
We're not animals. We don't eat with our hands.
Let's go with the wettest one first, the one that's most ready and willing.
That one there is the one with sake, soy sauce, and sugar, and it's a Japanese-style grasshopper silkworm.
Yeah, that's yours.
And actually, Spiro, because you're allergic to bees, that's the one with
It's just so simple. You put it in your mouth hole.
It's got, like, yellow jacket wasp.
Oh, yeah, guys. Ooh. That was another thing I wanted to ask. If somebody's allergic to bees, can they eat these things?
Yeah.
Well, you won't be stung. You're not getting the venom. Those are cooked away, so the venom doesn't really stand out. It's not
Oh, man.
Let me try it.
All right, here we go.
It tastes like soy sauce. I mean, there's nothing wrong there.
Yeah, right.
What do you think?
Oh, yeah, straight up.
Straight up. Check out Adam. He's digging it.
Straight up, son. I could put this in a bowl.
I really wish you'd all seen their face 35 minutes ago.
Yeah.
No, seriously.
They're looking through the window, yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so what are these guys?
Not bad so far. What's the next one up?
These are the crickets?
These, I think, are the Mexican grasshoppers.
Those are dried little grasshoppers.
Dried, and they'll be quite salty, I believe.
Yeah.
Ooh. Giant salty.
I'm down with that. It's like a corn nut. It's delicious.
Oh, wow. This guy actually looks like a shrimp. When I'm looking at these little Mexican guys, they look like shrimp. They really do.
They're good. They have like the kind of spice. They have a little bit of like a paprika flavor.
Yeah, this is good stuff, actually. I'm not
a chili powder.
Spiro's like the girl at the school disco.
Sorry, what was that?
Spiro. Let's try. What's this one again?
This is a Mexican grasshopper. It's quite salty and dry.
And these guys here, these
holding onto the stick. Can you see this?
It is holding onto the stick. I hear Madonna's like a prayer in the background.
So these are the two types of mealworms that you're getting into now.
Two types of mealworms. I'm just going to eat a few of them.
Mealworms. Two types.
Apparently, these taste like peanuts.
Actually, grasshopper tastes like earth.
Those are good. I feel like.
I mean, am I wrong about that? It tastes like grass. It does.
It tastes like hopper, too.
It tastes pretty good. I'm going to start getting the guy from Bizarre Foods. You know, it's nutty.
It's nutty. It's gelatinous. And you know what my favorite part is? The balls.
It's got a smoky, nutty flavor.
Which one was that?
These ones I'm not too crazy about. This tastes like...
cleanse the palate.
I don't know, man. It tastes like a smell of a cedar
Lou?
Closet.
There's three that look like giant raisins. What are those ones?
Yeah, those should be the silkworm pupa. They're a very distinctive flavor, but they are, of course, the silkworm larva that produces the pupal stage and the silk.
That's not good.
When they're cooked, the silk is taken away to use to make silken cloth, and then you're left over with these, which can either be fed to the animals or people, you know, cook them up more, add things, and then eat them.
These are actually the freakiest looking ones because these look more like a cockroach.
They're fat.
They also look like ones that might explode.
I didn't send you any cockroaches.
Have you eaten cockroaches, Lou?
I actually had the hissing cockroaches, but I've just taken the thoracic muscle out to eat that.
You have to remove the thoracic muscle.
You have to. You got to.
It's easier. It's a filet mignon of the cockroach.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam's Puerto Rican. He's not.
I'm Puerto Rican. Yeah, yeah. I had a cockroach last night by accident when I slept with my mouth open. I'm not joking. True story.
They're actually raised in China and used for human food, too.
No, seriously, these guys look like.
Yeah.
That's a raisin, Adam.
It looks like the raisinettes. Like,
that silkworm, the silkworm, that one kind of freaked me out a little bit.
The silkworm wasn't
good. It's a very different flavor. Yeah.
So wait, what is this here? What am I holding on to here?
It's not the flavor. Had you given it to me blindfolded, I probably would have enjoyed the flavor, but it's just
I see, yeah.
Usually,
yeah.
Everything tastes better blindfolded and with your shoes and socks off on the beach or something like that, right? No shoes, no socks.
I think it's weird though, because it's with everything else you sort of mentally prepare because you.
What is this though? Which one is this?
That's it. It's the unknown that's freaking you.
This is the unknown.
It's a raisin. Just pop it in.
It's a raisin.
It's the silkworm pupae.
Silkworm.
Oh wow! It's moist to the touch. And has this tempt? Has this been out enough to be?
Oh boy.
Like a fine
can I eat
cheese.
Half of it? Should I put the whole thing in my mouth?
I wouldn't eat half of it.
It looks like a
bed bug.
It looks like a giant bed bug.
Get it in.
No, this is not. This is, yeah, this looks pretty.
And then we have I think these are more grasshoppers
like a walnut.
And a locust. Yeah. And then you're done, lads.
That was right.
Yeah, these
way to be gamers.
Actually, that was my favorite one so far.
Holy shit. Really?
That
tastes
really
delicious.
That's what I'm saying. It doesn't taste that bad.
Wow.
But the whole.
That was excellent.
You could put that on ice cream and no one would not. They'll think that's like a toasted walnut or a toasted almond or something like that. They would have no idea.
Well, that can be done. That's what we've done. With certain insects.
And I bet you there's a lot of people who
break them up like nuts.
There's some angry people mad people at you who you didn't tell them that those were not walnuts. They were like, no, let's eat them.
And I have a question, actually, out of curiosity. Like, is there are there types of insects that like favor sort of sweet dishes over savory ones? Like, are there ones that you would recommend to use in the dessert world, and then ones that you would recommend to use in the savory world? Because I feel like sometimes you can win people over.
What you cook them with, too.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering if there's one that works better, because sometimes you can win people over with cake before you can anything else.
I'm sorry. I just saw Paul's face. I don't know what Paul's eating, but I just saw him eat something.
I just ate a big-ass grasshopper.
Yeah, and he cringed, and I didn't know what it was until he passed it to me.
Again, the flavor is good. It's just the accepting that I'm eating a giant bug.
Oh, my God.
And the flavor is pretty good. They're sweet. They're delicious.
What does it feel like?
Yeah, well, it's great. You like them.
This one got caught doing the hip hop hooray ho. He got frozen in mid ho. Actually, it's kind of fucked
up.
He's
got his hands in the air.
Yeah, it's almost like a Pompeii ash silhouette. This guy, he has so much life and character. I don't know. All right, let's start with the head.
Try
right?
It's good. Get it in you.
Great.
You're the only person I've ever seen eat an insect in two halves.
Yeah, really. Just really?
I haven't. I'm the only person you've ever seen eat an insect. Oh, number two of three.
You're wrong. I just watched Paul eat one.
Well, he's the Alvin. I'm the Theodore of the bunch.
You're nibbling it like Mike Myers eating baby corn, or Tom Hanks eating baby corn and big.
And I feel like this last one is the big test, like the locust, because these things are big.
Wait, we also have these little things here. What are they? They look
They're
like
mealworms.
Rat droppings.
Mealworms as well.
All right, I'm going for the grass. Grasshopper, guys. Here we go. You want to hear the crunch?
I think they're the beetle sort of larvae.
Let's see if we get a crunch in here, right, guys? This is me eating a grasshopper.
Let's hear it.
Oh, wow. Pecan with a very patterned crunch. Really nice.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
It would have been better if the head didn't come off first. When I chewed it and rolled around in my mouth.
You're actually handling this very well, Spiro.
It's really sweet, tangy.
Your girlfriend Judy told me that you were going to turn it into a big lady's blouse.
Yeah, well,
all these bugs.
You know.
We had the love dinos in front of us. We had them wear ponchos just for the occasion, but they're not going to be needed.
All right, so we're agreed. The grasshoppers are pretty good.
I like the silkworm best.
Yeah?
No, the silkworm was good.
All right, well, now I'm going to take some of these mealworms. They definitely—they look like they're like yellow jackets in here or something. There's definitely some kind of.
Are they the beetles?
Well, there's a small yellow jacket, larvae and pupae, but those were done in the sake and soy sauce sugar too.
Those were good.
Ah.
So are these mealworms the beetles? Because you gave us two.
Yeah, those adults would be beetles, but the mealworms are the larvae of Tenebrionid beetles.
Those are definitely nutty and delicious.
The part that they
those
keep sticking.
Those are used a lot in pet food.
Yeah, the
those,
part that
those
keeps
mealworms and crickets are used a lot in pet food.
Oh, too. But Jesus!
Oh my God! And it keeps sticking between my teeth. That's
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that.
What
the
hell is this?
Jesus!
This is the locust, and
we're getting biblical now. People.
Wait, there's only two. There's only two.
People at home, we are gonna put this up on Facebook because I feel like the locust is the biggest challenge. But you know,
wait, there's only two.
Oh, that's fine. I'm perfectly fine, guys. Listen, guys. You guys go ahead. I'm going to opt out.
Let's share this, Adam. Let's share it.
Sharing is caring?
It's what? like a prime rib for two.
Oh, my God. You have the thorax. I'll keep the head.
You want the head or the tail?
I'll go with the tail. Actually, you know what? The head, because...
You want the head?
Yeah, I don't know what these things shit. They might shit other bugs.
You,
is
want
what they
to,
shit.
You want me to feed you? Would that be sexier if I fed it to you?
I want you to mama bird it into my mouth.
Oh my God.
I want you to chew it up and spit it into my baby bird. My baby bird melon.
That's going to come in the 3,000s.
This thing literally looks like...
I can't do that.
It's actually really good. It tastes like...
Oh, dude.
Come on. You got to get it in you. It's actually... It's pretty good.
It's good?
Yeah.
I trust you, Paul.
It has like a toasted corn kind of flavor.
It looks like really? Toasted corn with it looks like toasted corn with eyeballs looking at me. That's what it looks like.
Before I do this, I'm sorry.
Come on. Oh, Spiro, you got to get this in you. It's pretty delicious.
Oh, my
God. Good. I think you're getting an
8+.
That's great.
You got to see his face.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh,
you got some in your beard.
You got some eyeball
in your beard.
Here
we go.
I think.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
Ooh.
But what do you think? I mean,
it tastes like.
It's almost like a sunflower seed.
It tastes like a cereal. It tastes like a banana bran or something like that. Just like a bran cereal.
Oh, I don't know what you guys are talking about. It didn't taste
it tastes
thing.
Good.
I just felt it. It had did you, no taste
did you
at
have
all.
The, did you have the ass or the head?
Taste.
Ooh.
But I think, Lewis, I think we can all agree, well, I think from looking at these guys, too, that it seems that had we eaten them blindfolded, we would have really enjoyed them.
Absolutely.
You know, it's the perception that...
And the wings.
That it's hard to get over.
Well, it's true. Like here, there's at least two companies that make energy bars that are made with cricket flour. And there's one chip that's called Chirp, and that's made with cricket and also with black beans.
Ooh. I could see these things.
It's actually out now, I think. I was going to order some.
I could see insects taking the place of like legumes and beans and stuff like that. I absolutely see that. If you hide them in my rice and my pollo quisao, I will not know that I was eating, you know, pew pie or whatever. But I was surprised.
Like, I've had larger grubs that are a few inches long, and that's like eating bacon when you cook that.
Oh, wow.
Really tastes good.
Wow.
If you were to pitch this, because so far the only pitch we got was bugs, they're not that bad. If you were to pitch this, how do you pitch this to the people who have no idea what they're getting into when they come to your place and they're trying to get some insect, you know, some, they're just trying to like have a look. How do you pitch this to them? What do you think will be the market for this?
I think it'll be, someone actually looked at that at the meeting, and probably all the foodies, you know, probably in their 20s, 30s, they like to try all kinds of things, and that all will be something to give them.
They'll probably
be more mainstream, and people will think nothing of it over time.
Do you hear a slogan coming up, though? Is there a slogan? I think Paul's dying. I think he got a thorax.
I have a wing. I'm stuck in my throat.
I have a thorax in my trachea. Somebody help me to the thorax in my trachea. No, but... But the pitch, we have to think of a pitch. I think we have to get people ready, like, you know, bugs. Eat them before they eat you.
Well, Zach, how do... I think that's probably a good... it's probably pretty true that the foodies these days are going to be much more adventurous in eating these, right?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, every once in a while, in my experience, you get, you know, a preponderance of folks who are, I don't know, let's just say north of 60, and they say, well, I've tried everything else, why don't I try this too? But yeah, in general, you've got younger, maybe more adventuresome palates willing to try this. But what's really encouraging, and this kind of dovetails with what Lou was saying about these energy bars that are being made by a couple of companies now in the U.S., where a certain percentage of their protein is made out of an insect flour of one sort or another, usually cricket. You know, what we're seeing is this rise in interest in general in entomophagy, and it really started, I think, quite notably around 2011. And so we've got a couple of startup businesses in the U.S. that are trying to get shelf-stable products to market. We've got a larger number of restaurants that are actually serving this stuff. And I always tell people, you know, when I'm in my mid-40s, when I was 10 years old, if you came up to me and said, hey, I'm going to open a restaurant, we're going to serve raw fish, most folks would look at you like you're out of your skull. And now you can't swing a stick without hitting a sushi restaurant. And I think a lot of us who are proponents of insect eating think this might go that same way. We're definitely riding some kind of a wave right now where there's more interest online, there's more interest with reality shows, there are venues like bug fairs and festivals, and what we do at Audubon Butterfly Garden and Insect Aquarium where people can just try this stuff. So all of this suggests that it's becoming a little bit more mainstream, and we want it to be even more and more mainstream.
I could totally see that because, I mean, we just tried six different things, and they all had six distinct flavors.
Yeah.
You know, everybody knows what a cow tastes like. Everybody knows what a pig tastes like, a chicken tastes like. You know, I mean, we've kind of run out of the different meats that we eat. You know, it's not there's not a really huge variety. To have 1,000 different flavors, especially for people that are so flavor-focused, then why the hell not?
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, I was listening to you guys, and I wasn't at all surprised by what I heard, but just to remind your audience, you know, what you all said was everything from not bad to pretty good to delicious. I heard a delicious
Absolutely.
In there, too.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you cook for people, you're looking for that last response. You know, you're not looking for, well, I can handle this. You're looking for, hey, this is yummy. But I have to say, one of the funniest things when you cook insects and serve them to people is when they're surprised that it's not bad. And, you know, sometimes when I'm feeling smart alky, I'll say, well, you know, it's not like I sat around this morning and said, hey, what can I offer to people that they won't enjoy? we want to cook stuff that makes you smile, makes you happy.
I think we did pretty good for three, you know, New York guys who never had bugs before, kind of being adventurous.
Intentionally.
We're not Andrew Zimmer and passing around a mirror, like chopping up thorax.
I was thinking, look, I read that.
And a rolled up dollar bill going, here, take some. You want some thorax, kid?
Yeah, exactly.
It's good for you.
I figured if Bourdain can eat raw blood, seal blubber, I could do this.
Yeah.
You know?
Insect, it's what for dinner. It's what's for dinner.
There you go. There's your slogan.
That's it. Insect.
What for dinner.
It's what's for dinner.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
Hey, Mikey, he liked it.
Well, guys, thank you very much for shedding some light on this. It was quite an experience, and hopefully people will join in they'll take a lot more interest in
oh, that's great.
Eating the insects. Lewis, thank you. Zach, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And
thanks for having us on, and bon appetit.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Great.
Good night, guys.
Next week, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.